Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. You can watch today's program by going to Gary Null Facebook. And we're going to talk today about the latest on health and healing, which we do every day, always from quality scientific institutions, always published in peer-reviewed journals, and that at least will allow a lot of people, doctors, scientists, nurses, to have confidence that the information is grounded in real, independent, good science. Then we're going to take some calls from you, and we're doing this on a regular basis. And that number to call in on to leave your information, and I'll give it to you in a moment. It's when we do our talk back, it's a different number. And then I want to share some thoughts from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He held a press conference last week at Yale University, and that was because some professors at Yale had found some problems with vaccines in their research, and they published it in a peer-reviewed journal. But the politics behind the scenes, the pressure applied to censor him was so great that none of the professors would show up. He did, and he gave an impromptu press conference with a PowerPoint presentation. Please keep in mind this is not a professional audio quality at the press conference. It was actually picked up off of someone's cell phone, I believe. So in any case, I watched it this morning. I found it very compelling. Compared to where he was 3 years ago, he has really made advances. And I believe he mentions that what he felt about vaccines was very pro-vaccine 3 years ago. Not so much today. You need to hear it. Then we'll continue for another 5 minutes of a discussion yesterday by two individuals who did the homework on this doctor who was on Joe Rogan's show, and he's all over the internet. He's everywhere. He seems to have no problem getting on major television and always hitting anyone who has been damaged by a vaccine. Now, think of that for a moment. He's attacking mothers and fathers who are trying to get the truth about why their normal children, after vaccination, devolved into various types of conditions, including autism. He says it's all nonsense. He is the latest defender of vaccines. Well, today, we will expose more than what anyone else has. Today, and you should let people know in about 20 minutes from now, we want to see, and I was thinking about this yesterday, why would Google and Facebook and Twitter and YouTube be taking all of the information that challenged vaccine, no matter how legitimate or true, no matter if it's a scientist or a parent, including, we're shooting a new film, by the way. It'll be shown shortly. And it is about mothers and fathers who have vaccine-damaged children, frequently giving the vaccines themselves to their children because they're board-certified pediatricians. So imagine that. I have only vaccine-damaged children from parents who are medical doctors who are pediatricians. And why aren't they considered credible? Why are their voices not legitimized? But they're not. So I'm thinking, as an investigative journalist, I'm always going to go to a level where I find the truth. And we believe we found the truth. And we're titling a new article that will come out later today or tonight or tomorrow at the latest, The Vaccine Oligarchs. We now know who they are. We're going to give you their names. We're going to post their photographs and their bios. And you'll see how, my goodness, it was right there in plain sight, and no journalist in America chose to look for it. We did. We found it. This is really big. So that'll be today. And so that's our show. Let's begin. The latest first on health and healing, and I want to focus a little extra time on breast cancer because now there's evidence from Tulane University School of Medicine that breast cancer is likelier to spread to the bones if you have nighttime dim light exposure. Now, I mentioned yesterday that it's the quality of the light. If you have blue light, and most people who have any light on in their house have light from a television or light from your computers or any of the blue light that's still on, that's not good. That's really bad. And that you should have an amber light on or like candlelight. And they actually have lights that you can put on so that you can go to the bathroom without turning off your melatonin production, because one of the reasons you sleep is melatonin, this very important hormone, antioxidant, is released by the pineal gland, a little grape seed size in the middle of your brain gland, and that stimulates the cleansing of your brain, the protection of your neurons, and the rest of your body. So if you're waking up throughout the night, you're breaking that exposure. If you work night shift, you're challenging that exposure, and that's why people work night shifts, leave shorter lives, up to 10 years. So anyhow, Tulane University School of Medicine showed that exposure to any dim light, it could be coming through a window from a traffic light outside, which is common in today's lifestyle, can contribute to the spread of breast cancer to the bones. And that's the first time this has been shown. So please have dark. I suggest a simple cotton or silk or satin eye pad. It's just a little thing you put over your eyes and you can't really feel it, but that's the best thing you can do. And then have a little amber light so that if you have to get up, it won't be the full light. Because when you turn on the full light, like in a bathroom, boom, you turn off melatonin. I really appreciate the work that CRG and Green Med Info is doing. And they have a Michael Murray, who did a very important serving on one serving of greens per day, slows brain aging by over 10 years. Now, if one serving slows it by 10 years, imagine if, like me, you're having 15 servings or even 20 servings, because if you're juicing, you're taking what was a bulk serving and you're getting a few ounces out of that, depending upon the vegetable and the amount of water it contains, like parsley. You could juice a bushel basket of parsley and maybe get 2 or 3 ounces. Whereas if you juice watermelon, you're getting a lot of water out of the watermelon. So anyhow, there's no reason we shouldn't be increasing the amount of fruits and vegetables, because those of you who are looking now, you see my hair? This is my real hair. Now go back and look at my hair on one of my first books, The Complete Handbook of Nutrition. You see I was thinning because I have male pattern baldness in my family. All my uncles and my brothers and my father, all bald, male pattern baldness. I also had it, but I found it was based upon the concentration of phytonutrients from green vegetables that reversed it. And if you look at fingernails, they should be hard and pink and smooth, not brittled, not cracked, not flecked, flaked, and chipped. They shouldn't be thin. They shouldn't be curved. They shouldn't be curving up at the ends, because it shows nutrient deficiencies. Same with toenails. They should be smooth, hard, and pink also. That means your immune system, your circulation is not working. That's why you need to sit with people who are qualified in their field to understand what you're going through and then match a dietary and lifestyle modification that helps you rebalance. So if eating one serving a day can reverse aging by 10 years of memory loss, and so then the question is memory loss and decreased brain power inevitable? The answer is no. And yet, today, we have an epidemic of people in their 40s and 50s and older who are told that it is and there's nothing they can do about it. It is not true. Of course, if you don't do anything and if you continue living your normal lifespan of social drinking and eating unhealthy foods, even if you bring in some healthy foods, you will suffer advanced aging. Let me explain it this way, because I don't want to conflate them, and people do. There are no diseases normal to the aging process, meaning heart disease, diabetes, cancer, dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's are not normal to the aging process. But that is completely separate from the idea that, yes, you are aging, and therefore by aging, you will inevitably have different decreases and breakdowns and dysfunction within the biochemistry, the musculature, the hormonal. And so there's an endpoint where there's a biological clock. But to get there in a healthy way, you can. There's no reason you shouldn't be able to live to 110 in good health and vitality and look 50 years younger. In fact, on Saturday, when I did my lecture to a wonderful group of people, they could not have been nicer. And it was packed, and I'm sorry that 1,000 people couldn't get in. But I came back the next day, and I told them. I went out in the hallway, and I went clear down the steps out the front door, and I told people, because that's how far the line was after the ballroom was totally filled. And I said, there's no room, I'm sorry. Come back tomorrow, and I'll answer your questions, and we'll do it over again. But one of the women came up to me afterwards, and she said, do you remember me? I said, of course I do. I said, you were in the 1947 Olympics. You were a medalist. I don't know which medal she won, but she did win a medal in the Olympics. She has the figure of an 18-year-old. Her musculature is tight. Her body is loose and limber. She has no crepey skin. And she is 89 years old. All right? How about that? 89 years of age. That's because her chronological age is one. Her biological age is completely different based upon all of her choices. Now, I filmed her for a show that appeared on PBS stations called Power Aging a long time ago. And at that time, she came in and we filmed her doing the same complete routine she did in the Olympics. And her dexterity, her flexibility were just perfect. Her teeth, her hair, I mean, she is the best example I've seen in my life of an 89-year-old. But I have a friend who's 80, another one who's 81. They're who are much older than me, but I've had in my life the benefit of people who are not my age, and I'm glad I have, because you learn a lot from people who are older and wiser. And this person does everything that he can right, and he looks it. I mean, he has the body of a 20-year-old. Now, his skin isn't as tight as it once was, but his musculature is there, his energy is there, his libido is there, his concentration is there. And could he do more? Yeah, but he's doing a lot. So if you were to take all the 81-year-olds in America, he would be in the 1/1,000th percent. He'd be in the top 10 healthiest people. Now, that's something. Now, that doesn't mean he's happy being 81, but because he remembers when he was 41 and 61. But so aging is inevitable. Senescence, or the end of aging, and hence death, is inevitable. But how we get there is not. So let's not conflate, oh, you're getting older, therefore you are going to lose your muscle mass, and you're not true. You can stave that off. And that's what we're not paying attention to. So this research was important there, and I just wanted to share that, because you're going to help stop memory loss and actually reverse it. And new research at the Rush University Medical Center in Chicago found that eating just one serving of leafy green vegetables a day takes a decade off aging brain. Two servings produce even greater effect. And just a little background. There's considerable evidence that diets that are high in green leafy vegetables, highly colored vegetables like carrots and yams and squash, and flavonoid-rich fruits like citrus and berries and cherries, are associated with prevention of age-related memory decline and Alzheimer's disease. In particular, two large studies have shown that the consumption of green leafy vegetables, including spinach and kale and collards and lettuce, had the strongest association with slowing down cognitive decline due to aging. So just be optimistic now. But you got to actually do something. You can't just talk about it. You have to manifest it. You have to take a step away from diseasing and into healing. And that's where a whole mind, whole body, whole spirit approach works. Also, a new group of research papers out shows that black seed oil, that's black cumin seed oil, protects your pancreas damage from diabetes and helps heal wounds. That study published just recently explains research on wound healing with diabetic animals, and this it was rats, from the extract of the Nigella, N-I-G-E-L-L-A, sativa, S-A-T-I-V-A, or black seed cumin, C-U-M-I-N, oil. I don't recommend you take it directly because it's a little strong. I do recommend that you take it diluted, 1 teaspoon, in a 16-ounce glass of juice. All right? Also, sex hormones in older men are definitely now linked to a lower biological age, and that's good. This is from the University of Western Australia. So let me put this in just the most basic language. Older men, meaning over the age of 40, tend to have a lower biological age if they have higher levels of sex hormones, particularly estradiol form of estrogen. And that's a large new study from Australia finds. And the study results will be presented. It was presented this past Sunday at the Endocrine Society's annual meeting in New Orleans. And so as a population grows older and sicker, identifying pathways to healthier aging is important. And a professor at the University of Western Australia Medical School in Perth said your sex hormones, such as testosterone and its active metabolite, estradiol, E-S-T-R-A-D-I-O-L, can reflect or possibly determine biological youth. And that's important, too, because, let's face it, a lot of men end up with the wrong balance of estrogen from eating meat. That's bad. Women also. It increases your risk of breast cancer, colorectal cancer, and prostate cancer in men and women. But also stress increases estrogen levels, and being overweight increases estrogen levels. So those are three negatives. What if you have all three? What if you're overweight, you're stressed because you're overweight, and you're on one of those foolish high-protein diets? So that's why you want to go to a plant-based diet. You're getting not the 16 estrogen metabolites, you're getting the 2. And those 2 then create protection against cancer, and those come from your vegetables, including soy isoflavones, organic non-GMO soy I'm referring to also. Now, I'm looking, we're almost 20 minutes into our program, so that's all on that for today. I just want to mention, however, that antibiotics before the age of 2, risk of childhood obesity increases at University of Colorado and University of Pennsylvania, and a lot of kids are getting antibiotics for the vaccine-induced autoimmune conditions that result in asthma and irritable bowel, etc. And a whole study on this in Gastroenterology, the official journal of the American Gastroenterological Association. But I'll have more time on that tomorrow. And also, screen time, television, computer, and plus snacking, you risk metabolic disorder in teenagers. That's the Federal University of Rio Grande do Sul in Brazil. And we have a lot of average, about 8 hours a day, teenagers are on their screens. So you want to know why we have an epidemic of adult diabetes in young people who are also snacking on high fructose drinks and foods and increasing their blood pressure? So they got diabetes, high blood pressure, they have elevated cholesterol and triglycerides, and they're victims of heart disease and diabetes in their teens. That's just stupid. Shouldn't be. Latest on health and nutrition, we're going to take a break and come right back, and we're going right back into some of your questions. I'm Gary Nall. We're broadcasting all over the world, and we're posting articles on PRN.fm every day, dozens of articles. And these are all meant to help people no matter where you live. We're looking at articles that empower people, that draw our attention to people and issues that are important. So please go to PRN.fm, download some of those articles. They're free and it's a public service. Back in a moment.
Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch. Alone. lonely time. Then time goes by so slowly, and time can do so much.
Hi, this is Bob from Brooklyn. I drink a lot of green tea for health reasons and a lot of black tea. Yet I've heard for a long time that tea consumption causes cancer of the esophagus. I heard that again even recently, maybe tannic acid or something like that. I'm just wondering if you could just comment on that for all of the tea drinkers out there.
Yes, it is not the tannic acid that is causing the esophageal cancer, which is one of the most rapidly increasing cancers. The esophageal is your esophagus, and what's happening is the tea is too hot, and these are mucous membranes. Remember, from your lips, that's a different type of tissue than your skin, and your mouth and your tongue. Now, if you've noticed, if you burn your tongue, you'll feel it, or your gums, for about a day. It sloughs off very fast. In fact, these are some of the fastest cells in mitosis, or turnover of your cells, your gastrointestinal tract. And it has to be, as well as your skin cells, because you have so many toxins. And this is one of the ways the body is designed to help the cells that are most vulnerable be cleansed so new cells can take their place. So we're drinking beverages too hot. It's that simple. That simple. Oxum's razor, you know, one of the most accurate answers are generally the one that is most reasonable and common sense, straightforward. So we should be drinking beverages at lukewarm, not hot. And that's important. We'll take another one.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Noel and audience. I have a question, which is about the protein, the bad cholesterol, protein A1. I understand that the niacin is good, but it damage the liver. Is there anything else that a person can take for this? Thank you.
I didn't hear what she said. I'm sorry. I didn't hear what her problem was, so I can't answer it. We'll play another one.
Hi, Gary. This is Harvey from Berkeley. And my question is, I've read medical information that claims that the stickiness of sugar binds plaque to arterial walls as well as creates blood platelet clumps, and that these sticky clumps of blood platelets can block arteries, which can cause a heart attack or a stroke in the brain. So my question is, when people get Alzheimer's, which is caused by sticky clumps of amyloid plaque, which lodge in the brain between the brain's neurons, is the consumption of refined sugar and high fructose corn syrup also responsible for the stickiness which binds the amyloid plaque into clumps in the brain? Thank you.
You are correct. But I would add on to that, Harvey, from Berkeley, thank you for calling in, is that it's the fatty acids in the diet, the type of fat, like saturated fats from arachidonic acid, from animal proteins and dairy, and especially dairy, that lasts longer in the body because it takes longer to digest it. When you eat a fat, it's like going from 65 miles an hour on a highway to 5 miles an hour. There's a whole process. Your stomach has to create a lipase, which is an enzyme that helps break down that fat through a hydrolysis of the temperature in the stomach and the amount of hydrochloric acid released. Fats are very difficult to digest. Then the liver has to come into being, and the gallbladder has to participate by issuing bile from the gallbladder that breaks down fat even further. So what it's trying to do is the body's trying to break it down so the body can actually absorb it, because if fat goes through the intestine in too large a pieces, it'll never be absorbed. So when that gets into the blood, it tends to coagulate. And I've done this myself. This is not theoretical. I've done it dozens of times. In fact, one study I did at the Institute of Applied Biology, where I was a research fellow and senior scientist for almost 34 years, is I took a group of people one day. In fact, it was people from this audience, because I asked people to come over. And we had all these people call, and we had about 20 people. So we took their blood chemistry, And then you look at it and you see, you know, it was bright and the red blood cells were not aggregating or clumping together. And then they went out and they had, and we intentionally asked them, have a fast food meal. And they all had fast food meals, your typical meals. They came back, and an hour later, we took the blood again, and it was night and day. Strings of fat that you could see, and you could see the red blood cells aggregating to it. Now, the sugar is one of the glues that helps that together, but you're dealing with casein, and casein is a mortar compound solidifier, and it works the same way in your body. That's why it creates constipation. So you have two things working together, sugar that you mentioned and fat, and that can create plaques in your arteries and in your brain, the amyloid plaques. But there's something else that is never discussed. Virtually all of the high fructose corn syrup and the fructose that you eat, it lowers your immune system. How much? Well, you have two parts to your immune system, but the part that we're most concerned about, the humoral, it can lower it by 50% for the next 6 hours if you have 100 grams of sugar, which is under 3 ounces, and that's less than what you get in a normal bottle of soda. So imagine that every time you're eating sugar, you're handicapping your immune system. Now think of how often during holiday times we're eating the wrong foods, and then it comes back at us as we're sick. Yeah, why? Something this simple. Sugar destroys your immune system for periods of time. But what if we're eating sugar throughout the day? Then you can expect to have more viral and bacterial infections because your normal immune system, which is there to protect you, is being limited by sugar intake. That's all the time we have, but we will be happy to take more calls on upcoming shows. The call-in number to leave your voicemail is 862-800-6805, 862-800-6805. Also, I'm going to be opening up each week, one day, a part of our program for citizen journalists who are activists who are doing broadcast. So if you do some important recordings, we'd be happy to play it. For example, this morning I saw that a citizen journalist, a very conscientious one, and he's a member of our sister station, WBI's former local station board, Mitchell Cohen. Mitchell interviewed Margaret Flowers and Kevin, and yeah, Kevin Cease. And that would be a very important audio clip for people to listen to. I don't know how long it is, but I would take that and I would probably edit it into 10 minutes or ask the person, edit, give us your best 10 minutes, and I'd play it. So we want to open this as a forum to all of you, all over the United States, all over the world. And you'll go to prnstudio@gmail.com, prnstudio@gmail.com, and you can leave us what you want played and just give us a little information on it. You know, you recorded this when and where and how many minutes it is. And then Richard Gale and Jesse will listen to it and then select the ones we'll use. This is going to be a new part called Citizen Journalist Forum. All right, and we're going to start next week on that. Also, I want to mention that for those in this audience, yesterday our receptionist put everyone over to who was interested in calling about the pit bull, this wonderful, loving 11-month-old male pit bull rescued, and it's been with me for 5 months. Is completely healthy and loves everyone. He's around cats and dogs. They all go and play with him every day. And he doesn't bite. You could not ask for a better companion animal than this pit bull. He weighs about 50 pounds. Anyhow, he's at the Florida Sanctuary, and it's the last of the animals that I'm finding homes for right now. I found homes for over 3,000 animals. So if you're interested in this wonderful, loving creature, just give a call to our number, 646-926-5422. But remember, anytime I give an animal out that I've rescued and gotten back to health, it's a home for life. Okay? That animal's there for you 24/7. Will never betray you. Will never leave you. Will always love you. And so this is important. Also, just as an aside, I'm hopeful that this summer, at some point, I will finally be able to open up an animal rescue center for aging cats and dogs, because right now, millions of people who've had companion pets, including birds, and those birds, by the way, can live, a macaw can live 100 years. So they're going to outlive almost always their person. So I'm going to create a place where they can go and live in a beautiful environment and live out their senior years with great health and get their health back with my protocols in a beautiful environment, get love every day, and we'll be there without a problem. So I just want to let you know I'm working on it, and it's going to come to fruition. And then I'm doing the same thing with humans. I'm going to create the first ever in the world holistic assisted living center. There's a whole other story how I was going to do this years ago, but someone who I thought was a friend sabotaged it and destroyed it, and it didn't happen. But this time, just me, so it's going to happen. So people who otherwise could still function but need to be in an assisted living center, I'm going to have them go into the center and then give them all my protocols in a beautiful environment. You won't believe the environment I'm creating for you. It's so cool that anytime I tell one of my friends what I'm doing, they say, I want to be in there. But they're going to be in the most wonderful, magical environment you could ever imagine in America. And every holistic protocol I have, I'm going to give them. And the goal is, within a year, to get them back all their health, their youth, their vitality, so they can back out into the world and back to their families and back into the things they loved in life. So it's a reversal process, where normally you go in, you go into assisted living, and then from there, you're either dead or you go into hospice care or nursing home. You reverse it. So those two things I'm working on. Now we have Richard Gale in studio. Richard, Richard, we have found something that I think it's important people understand. We were asking ourselves, what is the common denominator in this immediate and rush to ban anyone who criticizes the vaccine, any actual legitimate scientific article, anyone who has a real story that they can prove was vaccine injury? Nobody wants to hear that in media. Why not? So we found the common denominator. Right. And for the first time, we're sharing it with people so they know the truth. Mm-hmm. Share that with us, please.
Yeah, we've been, the group of us have been looking at the vaccines, just Gary, myself, and many others in the Vaccine Alliance group. We've been really puzzled at just how the onslaught to just silence any opposition and any criticism of vaccines has just gone, it's just snowballed. And all of a sudden, it's just within months, there was Facebook and Yahoo.
And now YouTube. Pinterest, as of today, YouTube is taking down all Amazon, of the videos right. that are considered conspiratorial.
Amazon, Twitter, Google.
All at the same time.
All of them.
That just would never happen under normal circumstances.
Right. So what's the link that we were really hoping to find was that we look at the board of directors of these different companies, but also to look at the board of directors of the American Medical Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and the big five. I just looked at the big, large five vaccine makers. The five largest ones are Glaxo.
And what are the results?
You're right. So, for Facebook, which has been passed us by, but Mark Zuckerberg's wife, Patricia Chen, she's a pediatrician. So she's a medical doctor. She's a pediatrician.
And major promoter of vaccines.
Promoter of vaccines. And they did their little photo op of having their newborn daughter, vaccinated. And it's splashed up on all the different Facebook websites. But I think even more important is on their board of directors is a Dr. Susan Desmond Hellman. And she is the she's the CEO of the Gates Foundation.
That tells you everything.
Just
that's
right
the
there,
magic number
right there,
just came up.
Right there, and she
Bill
was,
Gates and Melinda Gates and their foundation right. are the biggest promoters of the fraudulent science of vaccinology.
Right. And they've just, and the Gates Foundation has just recently launched a $12 million partnership to develop a universal flu vaccine. That's their big thing. It was always malaria, and now they're trying to find a universal flu vaccine.
And also, wasn't it the Bill Gates Foundation that funded people who would go in surreptitiously into vaccine groups that were challenging vaccines and try to spy on them?
Right. And there's one, Seth Kalichman, who is... you've heard us, Gary, speak often on about his Wikipedia page and everything we're doing with Wikipedia. Well, the person who is referenced as being the source of Gary being an AIDS denier, using the word, that's the Wikipedia language on his page, is Seth Kalichman, who actually is he's a psychologist. He's not a medical scientist at all. And he's... he received the $100,000 grant from the Gates Foundation to create a surveillance system for the internet that would monitor all anti-vaccine voices or anything that's being posted on the internet. It would be a monitoring system
to
collect all this
information. Now Gates has been shown. We found that Bill Gates, mm-hmm. is wanting to know who's speaking out and then get documentation on those. And then we also know from Vioxx suit and Merck that Merck actually had people saying we've got to, you know, shut down these people,
right?
Doctors, scientists, talking about the dangers of Vioxx. And so this came out under, I believe it was a court documents discovery that we found that, but the media didn't touch that. So what we're doing now, we're just letting you know that as of today, we have uncovered all of the board of directors members of Facebook, Google, Wikipedia, all of them, and all the pharmaceutical companies, and we can show that this is the new ruling elite. This is the vaccine, I would say vaccine oligarchs. These are the policymakers. Remember, board of directors are not opinion leaders, they're policymakers, and these are the people who are against it, and they're all working together. That's a cabal. So imagine... you're up against some of the most powerful billionaires, Jeff Bezos and Mark and all these. These are billionaires. And yet, they have more power than the 7 million parents whose children have been vaccine damaged. So this is why we're very concerned about this. We're writing an article on this. We're exposing this today. And it'll be up tomorrow on PRN.FM. And tomorrow, you will have your opportunity to learn more about Wikipedia and what you can do to offer information that we have documented. You've never seen this before, never heard it before. We're finished. Our lawyers are finished. To ask for congressional hearings on Wikipedia and all the discrepancies. And that will be posted tomorrow. By the way, tonight on the Progressive Commentary Hour, you won't want to miss this. A never-before-seen documentary, not a documentary, a press conference. Remember I said I did a press conference almost 30 years ago where I brought together over 100 individuals whose doctors came with them, took 2 years to put this together. We had a scientific board that reviewed all of their patient records showing that they were full-blown AIDS, HIV positive, but after being treated with different modalities, none of which were mine, this wasn't for me, and the people I work with who serial converted, but theirs, not a single media came, and yet one of the biggest PR firms in America was hired, $1,000 paid to get every age group, every medical group, every journalist to be aware of great news. 100 different people with their doctors, with their medical records at a press conference where you can come. You can come and challenge them. They got the medical records. A scientific review group had done all this. Not a single person came. That, to me, tells you a lot, because what is the probability that thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who received a press conference of good news about AIDS, AIDS is not a death sentence, that's what press release was about, not a single member of the media showed up. That meant that people behind the scenes were blackballing it and boycotting it, because our truth to show you all these people would have meant that then not everybody would have been making money off AZT, which was killing people. So that's going to air tonight. We found the press conference. I didn't even have a copy, but we found it. And it's there for you to watch. It's a real eye-opener. And it shows you that we were there ahead of everyone else. We had all the proof. It wasn't just me reversing AIDS. It was hundreds of doctors and patients. And all that was denied by the group that controlled the whole flow of money and research and science on AIDS. So, and you'll see there was no denying AIDS, no denying HIV. We simply, in fact, you can actually hear me say, and you'll see, I believe if you want to take AZT, you should have the right to do it. But you should not limit our right and patients' rights to try natural non-toxic therapies as well. This whole field should be open to anyone that can help a person. But they didn't want that message. And in today's environment where you can't believe the media and trust the media, this is just showing you we couldn't have trusted the media 30 years ago either. They were lying in the pocket of Big Pharma back then because not one media person came in. They all knew about it. Everybody knew about it. And if they lie about it, we have the names of all the places we invited. All right, that's tonight at 7 o'clock. You won't want to miss that. First time in 30 years anyone's even seen this. Thank you, Richard.
Okay,
so we'll have all the names and photographs of all the people control censorship. These are the new, well, if this was a different time, these would be the head of Stasi in East Germany, targeting people who are victims to make sure that their stories don't have a forum. We're providing that forum. We're going up against Bill Gates Foundation. We're going up against Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook and Google, and especially Wikipedia. We're taking them all on, and it starts tomorrow. Oh, we have someone on the line here before we go to one of our videos. We have Ron on, and we have Lou Anne Panessi on. I might mention that we are also raising money for WBAI, our sister station where I've been for 43 years, and to help them pay their bills and pay for the premiums. And it's been very successful in the past. We've paid for thousands and thousands of premiums. And so, Ron, hi.
Hi, Gary.
Hi. Tell us your story very quickly, please.
Okay. Well, I went to Gary's retreat in April of 2018 as a fundraiser for WBAI. I came with two terminal diagnoses of leukemia and chronic obstruction pulmonary disorder, also known as COPD. My oncologist said there weren't many options for me other than chemo. That's with my being very near to hospice care. But I decided to take a holistic approach and go to the retreat, thinking, what do I have to lose? Well, with all the healing work and vegan diet I received at the retreat, and after subsequent exams by my medical professionals, I experienced a phenomenal drop in my white blood cell count, which had been extremely high. And there was no obstruction found in my lungs. Now, in December 2018, after an upper respiratory infection and not being able to eat, my platelet counts dropped, which prompted my oncologist to schedule chemo infusions. But maintaining a vegan diet and holistic protocols, my follow-up exam showed a rise in my platelet count, and my white blood cell count also showed significant improvement. Now, this is something that the medical books and the doctors said was not possible. My lead oncologist said three times before leaving the exam room, whatever you're doing, make sure you keep doing it. He then canceled my infusion therapy. Now, I had an experience that changed my life in every aspect for the better at the retreat. Now, I completed an ultra marathon last April and another marathon in October. Now, who does that with two end-stage terminal diseases? I'm not the only one, and I'm only one of many that benefited from the retreat. I met people with multiple sclerosis, cancer, diabetes, digestive tract imbalances that prevented them from being able to eat for 2.5 years, all coming away from the retreat with phenomenal results, and they left happier and healthier than before. Now, I'm looking forward to the next retreat. And I will be at this retreat in April of this year.
Good for you. Thank you, Ron. And Luann, for people who would like to join us, and I make no promises for cure. I don't want people to think, oh, Gary's going to cure me and come. I don't diagnose or treat any disease. Mine is all about the exchange of energy, exchanging toxic diet and lifestyle for positive attitude, beliefs, behavior, cleansing, detoxifying, and we're there to facilitate people on their journey of health and wellness and happiness. So stress and depression and anxiety and obesity and diabetes, these are merely symptoms of a behavior that is out of balance. So correcting the behavior is my job. Luann does the counseling. So Luann, give the number if people would like to join us, because this may be the last round up there, since it's going to be used for other reasons in the very near future.
Sure. The number is 903-881-7008. That's 903-881-7008. I interview everyone to make sure it's the right event for you. And it's so nice to hear Ron on the line. He had an amazing experience, and that's what it is. It's an experience. And he learned that 50% of healing is about challenging the beliefs that got you sick in the first place. Those beliefs can be anything from how much you exercise to your sleeping to your relationships to your food. It's everything. So what a wonderful example of someone who actually came to retreat and really got the most from his experience.
And this time around, I'm going to focus a lot of energy in one of my three-hour lectures on loneliness. I believe that's an underappreciated condition in the United States, loneliness at all ages, even young people, middle-aged, older. And what does a person do with loneliness? How does it prematurely age him? How does it make him susceptible to disease? And what can they do to understand loneliness so they no longer are manifesting it? That's what I'm working on. Give your number one last time, please.
Surely. It's 903-881-7008. That's 903-881-7008.
Thank you, Luann. Now, let's finish our program today by going to the press conference that was with Robert Kennedy Jr. at Yale, where there was no discussion because the professors show up. There had been a gag order to try to stop Robert Kennedy from sharing quality information on the dangers of vaccines. And remember, he has the experience now. I apologize for the poor audio quality. It's the only one that I was given. But I think if you listen carefully, you can understand everything he's saying.
Good question, lady. What reporters and everybody needs to understand, there's a huge difference between the scientific establishment and established science.
Yes.
Established science is not what CDC says, and it's not what Merck says. Established science is what's on PubMed in peer-reviewed publications, and that's the science that the Institute of Medicine looks at. And as I'm going to show in this study, in this PowerPoint, the Institute of Medicine, which is the arbiter, congressionally appointed arbiter for what is science and what is not science, is with me on this issue. So if you want to know what established science is, look at the Institute of Medicine. Don't ask CDC. CDC is a vaccine company. CDC, 50% of CDC's budget goes to selling and promoting vaccines.
That's right.
CDC owns 57 vaccine patents. It collects money on them. FDA gets 75% of its budget from the industry. FDA owns part of the Gardasil patent. It gets money every time somebody buys a $420 shot of the series of Gardasil. FDA makes money. Not only that, but individuals within FDA who worked on the patent get $150,000 a year in royalties. And these are the division chairs, powerful people in that agency. Reporters, I learned from my dad, I don't trust people in authority. People in authority lie. The press was supposed to learn this, at least in the Iraq War, if they didn't learn it in Vietnam and any others. I've sued EPA many times for lying about climate science and forcing them to start doing real science on it. This is the same thing as the climate. You have an industry that is creating, the same thing as tobacco. There's an industry that is minting and creating phony studies. The problem is that the pharmaceutical companies have much more power with the press than do the oil companies or the tobacco companies, because it's the biggest advertiser. You look at Roger Ailes told me this. He said, look at one of my news shows. I have 22 ads on, you know, on evening news shows, and 17 of them are paid for by pharma. And he said, if I put this issue on one of my shows, I would get a call from Rupert in 10 minutes. And if you look at, you know, there's a censorship in the press. We're not allowed to talk about this. The press is just repeating pharma talking points. You're not showing us a study. But I said, I went to the press club last year with Robert De Niro. And I said, I will pay $100,000 to any member of the press who can give me a single study that indicates that it's safe to inject mercury into a baby. $100,000. Me and Bob De Niro said that. And I can show you hundreds of studies that say it's not. Oh, you've got to learn to mistrust CDC. You can't keep trusting them and writing down what they say. You got to look at what IOM actually says, and I'm going to show you that in a minute.
States, can you comment on the censorship across all social media as well as Amazon Marketplace?
I mean, it's a bizarre thing that, I mean, I grew up, I guess I don't teach civics class anymore. You know, I grew up with the axiom that you can't have democracy if you don't have free debate. No matter how controversial the issue, you got to have free debate. You got to be able to talk about it. And people, you know, people say, oh, well, the CDC, you know, it's an important institution. It wouldn't lie to us about health of children. You know, look what the Catholic Church did during the pedophile scandal. And look how the press collaborated with them. Yeah. And there's a movie that I think won an Academy Award, you know, about the Boston Globe, that was all about the press collaboration and covering up it because they believed the institution was more important than these little children who were getting injured. They were able to convince themselves that. And today, people in the press have to be guarded about not persuading themselves that CDC and the vaccine program are so important that we can't entertain criticism about it. That's the mistake everybody made with the pedophile scandal. We can't talk about it because people will lose faith in this important institution. It's so important that we talk about it. And what the heck are the Democrats owing to these powerful, powerful, multinational, you know, titans, Jeff Zuckerberg and Jeff and Bezos, and saying to them, you have to stop criticism of a pharmaceutical product. And the mainstream press is letting them get away with that.
My understanding, several states or countries have banned and yet, even though it is not common for people to have serious side effects, it does happen. And it's my understanding that you have some information that may shed some light.
All right, that's just a small part of the 53 minutes. We've posted that whole 53 minutes on PRN.fm. But what he is saying is that you should trust the Library of Medicine. But the Library of Medicine repeatedly, and he showed in his talking points, was not cooperating. The CDC was not cooperating with the Library of Medicine over a 30-year period. Didn't do the studies they were supposed to do. Why? I can only imagine that the CDC knew the truth. In fact, we know it knew the truth, that the MMR vaccine, for example, caused an increase in autism spectrum disorder in African-American children 36 months and younger, over 324% increase. That's a massive increase in autism. And that would have meant that the entirety of the African-American community had been questioning whether or not they should allow these mandatory vaccines. Also, tomorrow I'm going to show you a list of the actual science from the peer-reviewed journal that at least 80% of all the vaccines currently being taken don't need to be taken because they don't provide any protection from any contagion. They're not contagious. Like hepatitis B is not contagious. And if a baby's mother doesn't have hepatitis B, the baby doesn't have it. So why give a baby a toxic hepatitis B? That'll be on tomorrow's show. We're piece by piece, we're deconstructing the myths around the legitimacy of the vaccines that we're taking and the censorship they're engaging in, and we're pushing back on that. And he said it right. Don't trust the media. Remember, the media lies, and we just saw how much they lie nonstop. Tune in tonight, 7 o'clock. It'll be a real eye-opener for you. I'm Gary Null. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a nice day.
Let me hear the worshipers!